How to do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Monday, the 7th of February, 2022. I am your host, Kelly Gamma, and today I have an interview for you with Curtis Herbert of Slopes. Enjoy. Hi, Curtis.
Hi, how you doing?
Not bad. How about you?
Not too bad. It was snowing yesterday, so no complaints there.
You may be one of the handful of people who's really excited about that and doesn't take it as bad news. And
yeah, definitely.
Now, let's tell people why. Curtis, you are the developer of the app Slopes, which is I would say it's a specific workout tracker, right? Like the point of it is you can use it to track your the runs you do as you ski and snowboard.
Yeah. I usually like to describe it as like Nike Plus or Runkeeper or Strava, but built specifically for the skiing and snowboarding niche, which is a big market in and of itself, that usually flies under the radar of likes of Nike and Strava in terms of what they want to build an app for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it is specific. Like that's the, cause you like down to, are you skiing or are you snowboarding? Right. And it tracks those workouts accordingly.
Right. Yeah. And that's part of why I wanted to build it was, like I said, it kind of flies under the niche or the radar a lot of times. So there will be a couple other apps out there from other developers that'll try and do it. But really doing it in a way that speaks to the how we skiers and snowboarders think mm-hmm. about our data and try and look back on our data and ways to visualize that data that really works well with how we remember the data in our heads, stuff like that, like simple little things. Like, you know, if you're using Strava, you'll see a map of your day and maybe an elevation profile. But Slopes, I made virtual 3D mountains that you can actually see yourself, you know, moving around the mountain on, because for us, the 3D aspect is as important as the top-down map is. Mm-hmm. So just lots of little things like that, that I think you really have to live the sport, to be able to figure out like, oh, this is what really matters. And this is how we really want to think about it.
Yeah. And that's how this came about, right? Was because you saw a need for this as a person who does a lot of, skiing and snowboarding and wanted to be able to have that presented in a better way than what you were getting that was out there, right?
Yeah, there was another app out there that's actually still out there, and it's a very well-engineered app, but the UX left a little bit to be desired, being polite about it. And I remember we were sitting at Denny's after a day of skiing, and we were trying to figure out where did we hit our top speed for the day. Mm-hmm. And we had to cross-reference like three different screens. Like, such a simple thing everybody's going to want to know.
Yeah.
But the data was organized very data structurally, not ski structurally, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
So at that point, I was kind of like, you know, I kind of want to do my own thing. Famous last words. I feel like that's how everything starts to go downhill for most stories is I'll do it myself.
Yep. Famous last words. So Slopes has been around a while. When did you release your first version out into the world?
September of 2013, right when iOS 7 came out. That was a fun surprise for my summer leading up to the release, having to redesign some stuff. Because it's not hard enough to launch an app. Why don't we launch an app when you have to rethink your entire design?
All of it, yeah.
Yeah.
So you've been through quite a bit then in the last 8+ years. So how, as the app has evolved over time, what are some of the sort of surprising or unexpected things that you found as you continued on, you know, developing this app and trying to add things and stuff?
Just the scope of it, I guess. You know, even though I try and keep Slopes pretty focused on what I want it to do, and I am a huge proponent of not bloating software.
Yeah.
So even keeping a tight focus, you can end up doing a lot of crazy things. Like recently, the app's grown enough now. I've been full time since 2016 and starting to get employees and all that fun stuff. So with a little bit more of a team behind it, I'm still the only developer, but with a team behind it, able to do things like going out and using satellite maps and some of the data that users have recorded with slopes to help identify where trails are from like a satellite map perspective. So that things like OpenStreetMaps or Google Maps or Apple Maps, where you know where all the roads are. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm trying to build up where all the trails are, which there are some open source databases out there of, but they are not the best maintained, especially in America for ski resorts.
Yeah.
So again, screw it, I'll do it myself. And so that's been a massive effort. We have 4 part-time people working on that right now. And like, that's something that I had the idea for back in 2013. Like, oh, it'd be really nice if I had all this data for trails. Mm-hmm. But like, that was just so far out of scope and such an ambitious plan. And like now finally being able to get there. Like, yeah. It's weird to have seen the evolution that got me to that point and like all the features that I needed to build along the way to get me there. It wasn't just like a snap my fingers and I'm ready for it kind of thing. Like a lot of things had to be in place. And then actually a bunch of the features came together just a couple months ago to come out with a big update that like things just landed at the perfect time in the perfect place. Mm-hmm. And that got things to launch, which was really cool. But it's just sometimes things are unexpected like that. You don't expect it to go a certain way, and it does, and it kind of surprises you.
Yeah, it's, and I know also something you probably kind of didn't plan on, at least initially, was an Android version, which you also have.
Yeah, yeah. Because Android, like if I were going to do it, I wanted to do it right, quote unquote. I didn't want to do just a React Native port and just call it a day. Like I put a lot of passion into my iOS app since I'm an avid Mac and iOS user. And I wanted to do the same thing. So Material Motion, Kotlin, all that good stuff on the Android side. So I put it off for quite some time and I figured there's no way it would ever happen. It was probably one of the top requested things for the first 6 years of Slopes. But as one developer, I can only do so much and I'm already doing the web backend and the iOS. So I can't also do Android. But again, is it the product kind of grew enough that I could support bringing on someone part-time for Android? Mm-hmm. That was a nice surprise.
Yeah. And I know, speaking of, getting popular and being able to bring on other people to help with some of the bigger things that you're working on, your app is of a reasonable size, or somebody who really likes to snowboard has a job in Cupertino, and you've been featured on the App Store. And we were talking about this earlier about how, it may seem like, we talk about discoverability being really bad on the App Store, and App Store stories were a thing that was supposed to help, shine a light on some of those things. And it doesn't seem like it's doing what they thought it was. And you have the numbers to back that up.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a mixed bag there. I do think it helps to some degree. Certainly, if you don't already have an audience or you're having a hard time reaching your market, that can be a great way to get in. I think the context here is that back in the day, when I was starting Slopes, the gold rush of the App Store, I was coming in right at the end of that. Getting featured by Apple made or broke your app because apps were still novel. People were going to the App Store to try and find new ones all the time, stuff like that. And I feel like that quest for new apps has largely died down. And it's now more, I have the apps I like, show me another one I might like, and I'll download it from a friend recommending it or something like that. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like getting apps to really get out there and be successful now, the App Store can help, but it's only going to be a small part of your overall picture anymore. You need to get it to go viral on TikTok, or you need to find where your market already exists, like me at ski resorts, working with stuff like that and finding those marketing channels versus, an app of the day feature nowadays, they only stay up for like one day on the Today tab versus when the stories first came out, they stayed out for about a week.
It was like a week,
and,
yeah.
I think last time I got app of the day, it was like 11,000 downloads, which certainly nothing to joke at or anything. And for context, app of the day before the stories came out, back when you'd get a top banner or something like that, was closer to like 40,000 downloads.
Wow.
And that all depended on your niche. Games would do better. Like this is just Slopes, which is a smaller niche. Mm-hmm. But that you know, a couple thousand, 11,000 downloads if I already get featured today. Compare that to the fact that I'm getting 4,000 downloads a day organically, just from word of mouth and stuff like that. Like, that's kind of the context to look in. If you're a smaller app, it can help a lot. It might get you some traction. Mm-hmm. But really finding a way to get out there in front of your audience and not relying on the App Store anymore is definitely where the game is at.
Before we get back to my interview with Curtis, I'd like to take a minute and talk to you about our sponsor this week, who is Hunter Douglas. Who doesn't want to live well? To be perfectly at ease in comfort and style, Hunter Douglas can help you do just that with their innovative window shade designs, gorgeous fabrics, and control systems so advanced, they can be scheduled to automatically adjust throughout the day. With Hunter Douglas, you can enjoy the view outside the window while protecting your privacy inside. And if you add that to the superior insulation the shades provide, this keeps you warmer in winter, cooler in summer, and it can lower your utility bills. If you take all of that and add Hunter Douglas's PowerView technology, your shades can do all of this for you. Live beautifully with Hunter Douglas, enjoying greater convenience, enhanced style, and increased comfort in your home throughout the day. Visit HunterDouglas.com/TDO today for your free style get smarter design guide with fresh takes, creative ideas, and smart solutions for dressing your windows. That's HunterDouglas.com/TDO for your free design guide. I'd like to thank Hunter Douglas for sponsoring the show today. You've sort of never held those numbers back as a mystical thing. Like, you usually will go and sort of broadcast, like, you know, this is how it went, and you kind of break it down for people. And I don't know. I don't remember if you've been doing that the whole time or not. I've talked to you before and stuff, like, we go way back. So, but I don't remember if we ever talked about, like, yeah, you know, one day I just decided to sit down and publish, or if it was, you know, from the start, or how
it
that
is. I mean, so one of the other things that I didn't expect with Slopes was going subscription, because I started in 2013. So I was charging like $4.99 upfront. And I was actually one of the first apps to try non-renewable subscriptions, because you couldn't be auto-renew back then. So about that time in 2015, when I was going to go with subscriptions, that's when I started writing about it. Because I felt like there are a lot of stories out there with numbers behind them, mm-hmm. of, you know, the initial struggle of getting an app going and stuff like that. But then once it gets big enough, they stop writing, and you might be lucky to get some Bezos graphs with no access labels, which helps absolutely no one. I remember there was one paid up front software that put out a graph of like, oh, this is why, you know, all the hype up front is so worthwhile and why you need to do it this way and all that. And you see a big spike in a long tail. But for all we know, that long tail was $5,000 a day. Like, we don't know. Yeah. Any of those numbers. So I've been trying to just keep putting stuff out there that I think is relevant. Yeah. Just to set expectations. I think when other people are getting into development, they don't know what to expect. And I think there's still a very commonplace mentality of like, you need this big splash or else you're not going to make it. Versus Slopes, I've been working on it since 2013. And, you know, starting in 2015, it started doubling in size every year, basically. And that starts out pretty small. But now that I am where I am, you know, that gets big pretty fast. So sometimes it's the longer race that is where you might end up. And I wanted more data out there to represent that. So people don't necessarily think like, oh God, you know, I put it out there and nothing happened. This project is doomed.
Yeah.
No, it just can take a while. Yeah. You know, you have to learn your market and give it some time.
Yeah. And I think that's something that also, not everyone necessarily puts stock in, right? One of the things that has always stood out to me about Slopes is that, everyone I know who does lots of skiing and snowboarding and uses Slopes, like, it can all, whatever they're telling me about the app and why they like it and those kinds of things all comes down to, you know, the way the app came to be, which is that, somebody who actually wanted to use this app on, at a resort on a day when they're out skiing and snowboarding with people, like, that person is the person who developed this. It's very clear that it was somebody who has been skiing and snowboarding for a long time, who sat down and went, this is what I want my app to be, and then set about making it reality. And not every developer also has that perspective. Some people go, I think I could make a lot of money if I built this sort of app and then go develop that. But it doesn't feel right to people who are living in that particular thing and need that sort of app. And
yeah, I think I kind of got lucky that all of my interests came together to one point. Like, I've always been a fan of good UX, even if I am not always the best at it. Certainly a skill I've gotten much better at over the years. But you know, a fan of good UX, which is why I've liked iOS and macOS, mm-hmm. and I love snowboarding. And I feel like having all that living in the same brain really allows you to create a different kind of software that might otherwise not exist. Like, there have been some other skiing and snowboarding apps out there, and they even have skiers and snowboarders as part of that team. Mm-hmm. But I think sometimes when the said skier or snowboarder has to talk to a designer that might not ski or snowboard, or who might have only skied or snowboard once or twice, but doesn't really, you know, do it so much that they really know how the sport works. And then they talk to an engineer, and then they're all trying to figure out what might be possible. Mm-hmm. Like, having all those different people talking in that collaboration can lead to great ideas, but yeah. Also I think you get some lost in translation there versus sure. if that collaboration has happened schizophrenically inside of your own brain between your designer, your developer, and your product manager. Mm-hmm. I think that you can start to really make something special because all of a sudden your idea self can push your designer self, and your developer self is in the backseat saying, damn it, I do not want to write that. Don't make me write that. But I know this is going to be the thing that makes it all work. Yeah. Like the virtual 3D mountains. You know, I had to relearn trigonometry and had to teach myself OpenGL and all kinds of stuff. And, you know, I hated my idea and design self for that. But yes. I was bold enough to say, screw you, future self, we're doing this. And, you know, that's one of the features that users absolutely love, is just seeing themselves on the mountain again.
Mm-hmm. And one other thing, you know, when you say see yourself on the mountain, the part that I think is always interesting to people when they see it is that you can replay. You can, you know, forward and back through time. You can scrub, like, here's the time lapse of the, you know, the trail that it's recording as it's being recorded throughout the day. And you can see, like, here's this run, here's that run, and slide through it, like, you know, scrubbing through it like a YouTube video or something of all of the activity that you had during the day. And watching that on a 3D mountain sounds like it's even cooler.
Yeah, it definitely is. Or AR. People love, they'll broadcast that 3D mountain in AR, and then they'll, you know, put that on Instagram or something like that. And that's something I really need to create an automated way for them to do it without screen recorder. But, you know, people find that really cool.
Yeah, it's very neat. And it's another one of those touches that, like, to you is a huge deal. And, you know, for somebody who doesn't know that, you know, you basically had to go back to math class in order to be able to make this reality. You know, it's interesting to see that that's something that, you know, of course somebody wants to be able to see that, you know, for themselves. And like you said, you know, having all of the team in one brain helps make some of that stuff happen. It probably also makes it very aggravating, like you said.
It can. So, but then, yeah, it's cool because then, you know, I can look around, and I do not want to take credit for the idea of virtual 3D mountains. Like, it's certainly not, you know, we've had Google Earth for how long? But, you know, after Slopes came out, as far as I know, it's the first one that really did, like, user interactive 3D terrain as part of your activity data. Because I did that pretty early on. And now you see apps like Relive, which, if people haven't seen it, relive.cc, they were famous for, like, working with Strava, and then Strava blocked them. And they basically will create 3D replays with some really cool overlays and graphics of your run or your bicycle track or whatever. And we've been seeing more and more apps come out with this kind of concept. And so it's just kind of cool to see, like, hey, you know, my schizophrenic brain up there came up with the idea, and a lot of people liked it, so much so, you know, it's kind of taking root in other parts of the industry, and that's really cool.
Yeah. And, it's one of those things that, you know, when you set out in 2013 and released it on the App Store, that was never a thing that would have been possible.
No, back then, the thing I wrote in OpenGL, 3D did launch with Slopes 1.0, but it was more of an interactive 3D rendering of your run, but without the mountain underneath it. So you could see the height profile, and you could see the ways that you turned and everything like that. But it was more kind of a floating 3D line with some things to show you elevation and kind of some cool shading and stuff. But I didn't have that mesh of the mountain, because back then, I mean, I was optimizing this for, you know, an iPhone 3G, 4, a 4S. So that the idea of interactive virtual 3D mountains, was not really a thing in 2013.
No.
But it was certainly a thing by the time I was starting to work on it in 2016.
Yeah.
You know, the hardware was capable. It was a little painful at times, but the hardware was becoming capable. Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. So, like, that's another thing I think about is, you know, having to design for that, right? Like, you know, starting with that iPhone 4, 3GS 4 screen, and then it got a little bit bigger with, like, the 5s, and then, you know, it got a little bit bigger, and then a little bit bigger, and having to keep up with all
really
of that.
Small with the Apple Watch.
Now that you have all the room in the world and we can measure your phone screen in acres, now it goes on your wrist. And
yes.
you do have a companion app for the Apple Watch as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I was there with day one, with the Apple Watch. I went to the Apple Watch labs and stuff like that. And that's another one that's evolved crazily over time. You know, the original watch apps were basically remote displays for some data on your phone. But then around watchOS 4, I think about when the Series 3 came out, you know, Apple was kind of nudging me a bit like, hey, you know, we have GPS on this thing now. It'd be really cool if you could record without your phone. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's going to be so painful to do though, because watchOS has so many limitations in terms of memory and CPU. But, you know, it was another thing that's, I didn't expect it, but then, you know, watchOS is a huge part of Slopes. It's extremely popular with the user base. I think this season we were seeing 40% of our Apple-based activities coming from Apple Watch.
Wow.
Which is, yeah, it's a lot. People love it. I mean, it makes sense. You're out skiing. You don't want to take out your phone. You'd rather use your wrist. Like, it's perfect for skiing. So in some ways it makes sense. But it certainly wasn't a platform when I started Slopes, you know, thinking like, oh yeah, I'll be writing for an embedded platform. Like, all we had back in that day was Pebble. And you could not get anything close to Slopes on a Pebble watch. That just wasn't going to happen. So it was kind of a surprising turn, and it's, you know, had its ups and downs supporting the watch. But I'm really glad I do. Like, it's amazing hardware, and I can't believe I'm able to pull all this off on it. Just, you know, it's an embedded system, which comes with its own funds.
Sure. Now, if people want to check Slopes out, let people know where they can find it and where they can find you.
Yeah, well, obviously the App Store. But that whole direct marketing thing I was talking about earlier, that's so good. So you can find it at getslopes.com. And then you can find me. I'm usually hanging out on Twitter. And that's where, you know, I'll put most of my numbers that I feel like people would find interest in sharing. Download numbers, revenue numbers, all that kind of fun stuff. You'll find me on Twitter doing that at Parrots, the plural of the bird. And otherwise, CurtisHerbert.com. I have a Slopes Diaries, which goes through, I'm trying to, since like around 2015, I've been trying to just document the entire journey of growing this into a business. So a lot of my interesting stuff is in there too. So those are probably the best two spots to find me.
Okay. Well, Curtis, thanks so much for coming by to talk to me today.
Of course.
And I am your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other, and let's be careful out there.